The freedom factor is not only about medical freedom and freedom of speech and movement. It's also about the most important freedom that one can hope to attain in life, which is spiritual freedom. In this series, I will be sharing my book, The Way, A Small Book of Wisdom, with you. The audio version hasn't been released yet, but we are going through such a difficult time in the world right now that I wanted you to be able to hear it. Each week, I will be releasing a portion of the book on the freedom factor. Part 1 will come directly from the studio. Parts 2 and 3 may be read to you from my podcasting desk. The Way is about learning to connect with that deep place of peace that resides in all of us. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope to meet you someday along our path to freedom. Many blessings. Epigraph. To see the world in a drop of rain. The deepest love in a ray of light. To suffer from a stranger's pain. And know the day in the dark of night. Dedication. My mother, a strong, honest, and kind woman, was my first spiritual teacher. She raised 8 children in a tumultuous household with very few material resources. She once told me that during the most challenging times of her life, she could feel Christ standing right next to her, guiding her through many trials and tribulations. She said that when she was the most exhausted, worn out, and on the verge of giving up, that she would pray and be filled with such love and light that it was indescribable. My mother is a shining example of the type of love that Jesus taught. And even though she considers herself a Christian, she's never condemned and has always accepted and loved people of all faiths and backgrounds. She has taught me that the truth is the same no matter where it comes from. I would like to dedicate this book to my mother for teaching me to seek the truth, to my children for teaching me how to love unconditionally, to my wife for her love, compassion, and never-ending support. And to you, the reader, I hope that this book will serve as a gentle reminder of who you are and what is essential in your life. May it awaken within you the desire to know your true self, that eternal and loving spirit that is beyond name and form. Preface. This book was inspired and written as a spiritual guide to life and a reminder of our true nature. During its writing, I awoke early, almost every morning, practiced yoga, prayed, meditated, and wrote. The words flowed without much difficulty or effort, and the book seemed to write itself. I don't pretend to be an enlightened guru sitting on a mountaintop in some faraway land. I grew up in small-town Iowa in middle America. Nevertheless, I can say with great sincerity that during the daily practice and conveyance of this wisdom, I have felt a profound and growing inner peace. A wonderful change to my inner world. I recently watched an interview with musician John Mayer, and when the subject of his writing came up, he said there was this place writers sometimes reach that he liked to call the other side, and that you don't get there very often. What he said about being in this place that I found most profound was, while you're writing, you speak so much of your truth that even you are learning from it. That is how I felt in writing, reading, and editing the book that you are now listening to. Every time I sat down to write or edit the manuscript, I learned something from it. The wisdom of the way is universal and beyond the confines of any one religion. No matter what your religious beliefs, I hope you can find something within these pages that adds to and strengthens your spiritual practice. The book is divided into 3 sections. Each comprised of chapters on a common theme, topic, or challenge that we may face in daily life. Most chapters begin with a spiritual quote, have a short discourse on the wisdom of the topic, and are sometimes followed by poetic verses I was inspired to pen. These verses are meant to speak directly to your spirit. I recommend reading the way straight through, and then, if you're so inclined, keep it close by as a meditation guide or a tool that you can use to bring you back to your center and spirit when your mind has become immersed in a problem or challenge. It's so easy to get caught up in the delusion of the mind and the ego, that sometimes it can help to have a small book we can pick up and turn to a page that reminds us of our true nature. A book without too much intellectual involvement that contains words and verses that speak to your soul. I hope this small collection of wisdom can be that book for you. Introduction. I know that God is not a popular word right now. Some New Age books use words like source or being instead of God, and that's okay. Those terms may be less off-putting for the spiritual seeker who is searching for something more. Please don't get too attached to the word that is used for God. When you read the word God within this text, I welcome you to substitute it with Divine Mother, Source, Being, the One Self, or with whichever deity or term you feel most comfortable. I may even switch from one name to another at times depending on the context. After all, God is everywhere, in all beings, in all things, and might best be described as the creative and loving force that flows through everything and all of creation. Split a piece of wood and I am there. Turn over a stone and you will find me. Gospel of Thomas, saying 77. The Tao Te Ching says that the Tao that can be named is not the Tao. Maybe the God that can be named is not God. In the act of naming something, we separate ourselves from it. We use labels and concepts to describe a force that can only be felt, a force the mind cannot comprehend. We talk about this force's manifestations, confusing them with the force itself, or hoping they will lead us back to the experience of God. One of my favorite movies growing up was Enter the Dragon. At the beginning of the film, Bruce Lee is playing an instructor who is teaching one of his students a martial arts technique. After they bow to each other, Bruce says to his student, "Kick me." The student executes a couple of side kicks, and Bruce abruptly stops him, saying, "What was that, an exhibition? We need emotional content. Try again." His student continues, trying once again, this time with anger. Bruce tells him anger is not emotional content. The student moves again, this time with a different kind of presence and strength. "That's it," Bruce exclaims. "How did that feel?" The student replies, "Let me think." Just then, as a Zen master might do, Bruce smacks his student on the head, saying, "Don't think, feel. It's like a finger pointing away to the moon." The student stares at Bruce's finger as he is pointing toward the moon and receives yet another whack. There's a dramatic pause before Bruce continues, "Don't concentrate on the finger, or you will miss all the heavenly glory." The words God, Source, Being, Tao, and Zen are each like a finger pointing to the moon. If we concentrate on the finger, we too may miss all the heavenly glory. God is not exclusive. We can love God or this force by whatever name it's called and by whatever name it is worshipped. This force is love, and the act of worship is simply an expression of love. I've felt this divine presence in the fields and trees, in the small meditation room in my home, in the Christian church, in the Trappist monastery, in the Hindu ashram, and in the Buddhist temple. I've witnessed this presence in the eyes of a child, a rich man, and a beggar. We can love God wherever we find him. In truth, he is everywhere. There is nowhere he can't be found. Seven realizations. It's one thing to feel you are on the right path, but it's another to think that yours is the only path. Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist. There are many paths to spiritual understanding. No matter what religion you belong to, if you sincerely study the teachings of the spiritual master upon which your religion is based, you will find the way hidden within. Sometimes in life, our spiritual practice can become confined to one trip a week or maybe only a holiday sojourn to our local church or temple. We forget that life itself is our spiritual practice, and that as we live, breathe, and interact with the world every day, we are presented with the opportunity to uncover and express our true nature. As you read this book, I'm inviting you to see how every moment of your life is a part of your spiritual journey. Following our seven realizations of the way, as I have found them in the sacred scriptures of the world and along my own spiritual journey, I welcome you to explore them and to adopt them into your practice. either in their entirety or in part, in whatever way feels right to you. Oneness. God, being or source, permeates the universe and underlies and resides within all beings and all creation. Nothing exists that isn't made up of this creative and loving force. Original goodness. We are all children of this force, children of God. Living in joy, happiness, love, and prosperity is our birthright. We have the free will to choose this birthright or to turn away from it. Presence. By practicing meditation, prayer, and mindfulness, we can learn to experience our connection to this loving force and bring its presence into our daily lives. Gratitude. Cultivating joy and gratitude allows us to open our hearts and experience a world of infinite possibilities. Suffering. In times of trial, learning to embrace and understand our suffering and the suffering of others allows us to open our hearts further and to cultivate empathy, understanding, and forgiveness. Compassion. Expressing compassion and loving kindness to others teaches us to share our divinity with the world. A life of purpose. There is no one like you in the universe. You are unique and made up of the stuff of stars. You are here to discover your Dharma, develop your unique talents, and to share them with the world. It's never too late. Inner peace. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Your vision will become clear when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakes. Carl Jung. The doorway to the kingdom of heaven is within you. It is ever present, beyond the many layers of the mind and the ego, beyond regrets about yesterday and worries about tomorrow. I remember reading a Sunday school story once about some people from long ago who needed to help God hide. It was a beautiful story designed to help the children think and interact with the teacher and to help them realize just how close God truly is. The people from long ago thought to hide God in the mountains, but knew that when someone was walking through the mountains and witnessed their beauty, they would realize that God was there. They thought to hide him in the ocean, but knew that when people saw the wonders of the ocean, they would know that God was there. Should they hide him in the grasses of the plains, or should they hide God in the trees of the forest? Finally, they decided the best place to hide God would be in the human heart. They thought few people would look inside themselves to find God. They were right. How often do we take time to look inside ourselves? Most of the time, our attention is focused outward. From the minute we wake up in the morning until we close our eyes to go to sleep at night, we are bombarded with external stimuli. What we fail to realize is that there is a whole universe within us. When we open our hearts, look inside ourselves, and feel the love that's always there, we found inner peace. We found God. Practice. I invite you to remember a time you felt truly at peace, with love flowing in your heart. It could have been when you were alone in nature, or with a significant other, or when you were spending time with your family and completely present and in the moment. Your thoughts and mental judgments may have slowed down or temporarily ceased. Whatever experience this was for you, it is still there, and you can access it at any time. All you have to do is close your eyes and put yourself there. Take a deep breath and exhale slowly. Become aware of your body and allow your breathing to slow. Imagine what you experienced. See what you could see. Hear what you could hear. Feel what you felt. Now just focus on the joy and inner peace of that moment and feel it now. As you sink into this feeling of inner peace, you may feel immersed in a warm, enveloping light. Love and peace extending endlessly in all directions. Allow yourself to experience this state of inner peace. After some time enjoying this inner peace, think of a recent experience that didn't go so well, or of a future situation where you might need this extra resource. Now imagine the scene of the past or future experience playing out on the movie screen of your mind. You could be experiencing the situation from the inside or as an observer. If you are thinking of a past situation, imagine how bringing your inner peace would have changed the outcome. If you're thinking of a potential future situation, how does it play out when you bring your inner peace to it? Once you've done the exercise, let it go. The past is gone. It's only one version of a story we like to tell ourselves. And the future doesn't exist. There is only the present. Repeating this exercise can change how you feel about something that happened in the past and better prepare you for a potential challenge that you may be concerned about in the future. When you learn to cultivate this presence, sit in stillness or to be in the moment, whether you're alone or in nature or in a crowded city, it will allow you and those around you to experience this peace. The Buddha called this state of peace nirvana, a place of no suffering, a state beyond the cycle of death and rebirth. At a deeper level, this feeling, this place of peace, is oneness with God, the Source, or the Creator. It is the vast light in the cosmic song, beyond our physical senses, underlying and emanating throughout eternity and the many worlds within it. Peace, love, light eternal, never-ending joy and happiness, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, like a sleeping child being held in the arms of the Divine Mother. The child, tired of playing in the sea of desire, ever longing and searching for God, through vigilance and lifetimes of unceasing effort, escapes the clutches of Mara the Tempter, conquers the delusion of Maya, and at long last returns home. If you've enjoyed this portion of The Way, A Small Book of Wisdom, and would like a copy of the book, you can purchase an ebook, paperback, or signed copy at www.oliverbardwell.com. Each week we will be sharing several chapters of the book on the Freedom Factor. Please subscribe and share it with your friends. See you next time.